You're turning. Well, let's go ahead to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. But here's what I want you to do. If you are a Christian, listen. If you know someone who is backslidden or in trouble, a Christian, or if you know an unbeliever that you could even reach out to right this minute and just say, hey, man, I'm sending you a text. Why don't you just tune in and listen to this old pastor and let me just talk with you for about 40 minutes, you know, if you don't know the Lord. And please, if you're listening right now and you don't know the Lord and say, who is this old guy? Don't turn me off. Please don't do that. Just listen to the Word of God. That's all I'm asking you to do for the next 40 minutes or how long I'm going to teach this morning. So with all that being said, as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, let's read the verses beginning this morning. Paul the Apostle says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you, meaning us, the believer, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This morning, you know, we're going to look at those who are outside of Christ. They're not born from above. If that's you, please don't turn me off. I want you to hear these words from a God who loves you and sent his son to die for you. If you're a backslidden Christian, man, you need to hear this and you need to get right with God this morning. So we're going to talk about those that are without Christ in their life. And the title of this message is The Empty Walk. Now, we don't have an empty walk. If you're in Christ, man, we are walking worthy of the calling of which God has called us to do. Amen? So we've nailed it down. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, we understand the doctrine. We have it. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. With all of that being said, now we begin in verse 17 all the way over to chapter 6, about verse 9. Now we learn how to walk worthy of our calling, the things that God has called us to do since we're chosen in him, redeemed and sealed and accepted and loved and chosen before the foundations of the earth. So now this worthy walk begins. Remember Ephesians 4:1, that we walk worthy of our calling. Remember, the word worthy is a picture of a set of scales. And to balance out, you put a weight over here, 5 pounds here, 5 pounds here. You have a balanced set of scales. So you put doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians here. Over on this side, you put chapters 4, 5, and 6. So you have doctrine, application. Or you hear the Word of God, now you do the Word of God. Now you have a worthy walk. Now, with all that being said this morning, let me say something about a believer, about being a believer, about being a Christian, a new creation in Christ. Listen, we did not, you know it, but maybe the world thinks that we did. We didn't wake up one morning and go, you know what? Well, I think it's time to mature. It's time to grow up. It's time to get my life right. It's time to start living a really moral life. I'm going to get my act together, in other words. No, that's not how it happened. We asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of our life because we couldn't get our act together. We couldn't get our life together. And you know what God did? We're a new creation now. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We now, our nature has been changed. It's all brand new. We have now are partakers of the divine nature of God. We don't walk like the world. And the reason that we don't walk like the world is because we are not of this world. And not only that, we're not being conformed to this world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we do not trust the world. How could we trust a world that has been brought to its knees in less than 60 days by the coronavirus? Oh, man, look at the mess this world, the empty things this world is involved in right now. No, so we're going to put on now this new our walk toward the new man. But this morning, these two verses. I'm only covering two verses. These two verses, loved one, before us are the most horrific description of a person without Jesus in Scripture. Thank God. I thank God for you. I thank God that we're saved. I thank God that our lives are not empty. We don't have an empty life. We don't have an empty walk. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, it says, thanks be unto God the Father who has blessed you, who has pronounced you blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, we are blessed. We are overflowing. We're not empty at all. No. But you know what? If you're without Christ, loved one, listen to me now. You're empty. And we're both walking. We're walking, every person on earth, they're walking through this land. They're walking through this life, A to B, birth to death. Every person, loved one, if you don't know Christ, then your walk, even though it maybe feels good, it looks good, or whatever you think, but it's actually empty. Lloyd Jones said this about the scriptures, these two scriptures we're going to cover. He says, here we find the most masterly description of life without Christ that can ever be encountered. Let's begin this morning, verse 17, the empty walk. Paul says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you, meaning the believer, the Christian, that you should no longer walk, you should no longer live as the Gentiles or the rest of the Gentiles, their walk. And how do they do that? In the futility of their mind. So therefore, the word therefore, and the word walk take us all the way back, return us to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, meaning the worthy walk. Every Christian has a worthy walk. In other words, a balanced walk in this life. Now, with all that being said, Paul is so serious, so intense, because he uses a word that in the Greek we translated in our language, testify. Man, it's strong. Look what he says. He testify in the Lord. So, man, Paul is now speaking to the church at Ephesus, the Gentiles, and to us. He's saying, listen, this is serious. And I am right now, yes, I am using my apostolic authority. I want you to listen to me carefully. That's how serious this is. He says, listen, don't live like the lost. Don't walk like the lost. Don't think like the lost. You see, the word walk there means a person's lifestyle, the way that they live on this planet. J.B. Phillips' translation puts it this way, do not live as the Gentiles live, for they live blindfolded in a world of illusion. Now listen carefully. Jesus died for the lost. God loves the lost. Paul is in no way demeaning, putting down, trampling upon those that are lost, okay? He's speaking to us now with the eternal truth of God's holy word, loved one. No, listen, Paul was one of the greatest soul winners that ever walked the face of the earth besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when Paul, what he is doing here, he's saying, listen, I'm giving you the truth of God's word. Now, we know God loves the lost. He loves the world. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Now, listen, you know, God didn't send his son into the world, John 3:17. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 2 Peter 3, what is it, verse 9? It says, Peter says to us, he says, listen, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what I pray. If you don't know Christ this morning, I pray that you come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, the world can't be, if the world is right, that means God is wrong. If God is right, the world is wrong, but God is always right, okay? Now listen, God's truth is eternal. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of God endureth forever. So Paul the apostle says to the believer, now you're to have a worthy walk, and you can't have a worthy walk if you walk, don't walk any longer as the Gentiles walk. Now the word Gentile here is not the Jew, of course, so we're going to use that word to represent believers in every unbelievers rather in every generation, those that are lost. So Paul says, listen, to the Ephesian church. You're not a bunch of pagans anymore. You don't worship Diana or Artemis or any of those things anymore. You don't use witchcraft. You don't use astrology. All the things that they were doing. Remember how they burned all their books in what was it, Acts chapter 19, I believe? You know, no, listen. Paul says, listen, you're no longer pagans. You're not even a Gentile. You're no longer lost. You don't have an empty life is what he's telling us. Now, listen, that verse 17 there is a perfect example of knowing doctrine. And if you know doctrine, then you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, don't walk like the Gentiles. Why? Look at chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. He says, so you don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't you walk in the futility of their minds. In other words, they walk with an empty walk, an empty mind. Now listen to me. Futility of mind literally means that your mind is empty of the things of God. It's darkened, if you will. And the thing is that emptiness of mind doesn't mean you're not smart. It doesn't mean you're not intelligent. It doesn't mean you don't know a lot of facts. But it means that emptiness of mind or futility of mind is an empty life without any true purpose. Now listen, life without Christ is just an empty life. Even though you can feel good, whatever you might be doing, you're getting joy from your occupation, all those things, okay? But life without Christ, man, listen, is empty. You're just existing. You know, and the problem is that the lost, if you're lost, here's the deal. You don't know it. I'm not beating you up because you don't know it. But here's the deal. I was there myself. I thought everything in the world, all the things of this world, I'm going to find happiness. I'm going to have success. I'm going to get peace in this world. And you know what happens? They'll finally one day only end in disappointment and finally in death. Why? Because we live in a world that is empty. We live in a world that is cursed. We live in a world that all they can give you is empty things to fill an empty life. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world are the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world, they're not of the Father, okay? He says, but for the things are all, rather, everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the world. And this world, loved one, is passing away. It's not eternal. It's not going to continue. The world is passing away, but he who does the will of God abideth forever and ever. See, you're walking and I'm walking. I'm walking worthy, not because I'm worthy, he's worthy. By his grace, by his power, through his word, by Jesus Christ in my heart. But you're walking too, but you're walking without Christ and is only going to bear fruit, the fruit of emptiness. So lost people are empty people. And, you know, we live in a life. Everybody says, boy, life is good. Life offers you so much, promises you so much. No, this empty life that's on this planet, loved one, is going to lead you to huge disappointment in the very end. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says that we, the believer, have been redeemed from our aimless conduct. That word aimless means from our empty life. Think about it. God purchased us with the precious blood of the Lamb. Our lives are no longer empty at all. And praise God for that. See, it doesn't matter how rich a person is. Nothing wrong with being rich. It doesn't matter how much if they're poor or educated, uneducated. Every person that is born in this world, born on this planet, in every generation, you know what? They're born empty. They're born, their life is empty, and the reason is because they are in Adam. And Adam, the only thing Adam can give is sin and death. So in Adam, all die. In Christ, all will be made alive. So when we start thinking about this, you know, Adam, you know, here we are, this emptiness that's going on in the lives of so many people. And you know what? If you don't know Jesus, if he's not in your heart, you know, your minds are empty, your hearts are empty. Everything is empty. Unless you're born again, you'll remain in that emptiness. And lost people are empty. And you know why? Let me give you the scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, meaning those that are in Adam, those the lost people, does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, meaning you have to be born again to know the things of God. So lost, empty people, and I say that with love, I'm not beating anybody up. If you're lost, you're empty. And you know what? I'm in here and we are in an empty chapel. There's no one in this chapel but me. And you know what? If you were sitting right there in the pew and you did not know Jesus Christ, you'd be listening to me like and saying things like, who does that guy think he is? You know, saying I'm lost or I'm empty. Man, I got my act together. I got my life going on. And you know, but you would be saying the scriptures that I'm reading to you, I'd look down and I would know that they're foolishness to you. They don't make any sense and so forth. And you'd probably say, I can't wait to get out of here. See, you could even read your Bible, loved one. You can read it and say, you know what? I read all that. I don't get one thing out of that. And here's why. The natural man, the lost, empty person, those that are in Adam. You know what? Here's the deal. You cannot welcome the things of God. You can only welcome the things of this world. Why? Because you have to be born from above. You have to be born again. The empty walk, see, the empty walk of the lost, that's where their minds are empty of the Word of God. And man, what is worse than an empty mind? Doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. Man, there's some great, smart, wonderful minds in this world. But the word mind there has to do with the whole personality of the believer, if you will. See, if God's word is not in your mind, if you haven't renewed your mind to God's word, then God, your actions will not demonstrate God at all, or no holiness or any of those things at all. Now look at the next one. Having their understanding darkened. Let me read a Greek expositor how he translated that. He said, those who have been permanently blinded with respect to the mind. Now listen, look at it again. Having their understanding darkened. See, the empty walk of those who are outside of Christ. They do not know that they are living in darkness. They do not know that darkness is living in them. You don't know. Listen, if you're lost, you don't know God's word. This history is his story. We're all moving toward the end, loved one. Listen, you don't know. But here's what the Bible says. One day the church, meaning every Christian who's truly a Christian, from every denomination, whatever it might be, one day the church is going to be caught away. In other words, we use the word rapture, taken out, a twinkling of an eye, suddenly, instantly, the world is going to be caught off guard, and the church is going to be gone. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we are forever going to be with the Lord. And immediately, this unprepared world, just like we were unprepared for the coronavirus, this unprepared, confused, dark, empty world that we live in, loved one, listen, you don't know it, but here's what's going to happen. There's going to be the great tribulation period, 7 years. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this planet. The Antichrist is going to come forth. Listen, this world right this minute is ripe for the man of sin, the Antichrist, to come. Look at us. The world in 60 days, like I said earlier, brought to its knees. People rioting and this, no jobs and the economy and all the things that are happening. Let me tell you what, when the man of sin comes, he's going to be a military genius. He's going to be a political genius. He's going to be a religious genius. He is going to solve poverty. He's going to do it. And the whole world, see, it's conditioned right now for that man of sin. And matter of fact, those with their minds and their minds are darkened, as it just said. Listen, do you know what you're going to face? If you don't come to Christ, you're going to face again the 7 years, the wrath of God being poured out on this planet. It says in the fifth bowl judgment that the angels are pouring out these bowls or however it happens on the earth, loved one. It says in Revelation 16:10, when that happens, it says that they pour out this bowl on the throne of the Antichrist, the beast, loved one. And it says his kingdom becomes full of darkness. And listen what people on earth are going to do. They're going to gnaw their tongues because of the pain. They're going to keep chewing and chewing and chewing on their tongues. Why? Because this darkness is so intense. This supernatural darkness is so dense. It's painful, severe pain. It's going to be a time where people on this earth, they're going to beg God to die. They're going to say, death, take me, and death is going to take a holiday. It's just the things that are happening are going to be so horrible. See, if I told you that you loved darkness, you would be upset with me if you don't know Christ. You'd say, what are you talking about? You're offending me. And I understand that. But see, the Bible tells us that the light, you know, in John 3:19, it says this is condemnation, this is the judgment, that the light has come, meaning Jesus Christ, but men love darkness. Do you catch that word? Men are in love with darkness rather than light because their deeds will be exposed. Their deeds are wicked, they're evil. Listen, I had no idea that I loved darkness. Not at all. See, a person who is without Christ, their walk is empty. They don't know that they love darkness, and I didn't know it either. And the reason is because my understanding, and if you're lost, if you don't know Christ, your understanding is darkened. No one, if someone told me that when I was not born from above, before I became a believer, that I had joy participating in darkness, I would say, no, that can't be. But you know what? Yes, I had joy. I found my joy in darkness, but I didn't know it. I unknowingly embraced the Satan's system of darkness, but I certainly didn't know it. And this darkness, you have to understand, so you don't know it's there. It is so severe. It is so powerful that those who reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity in darkness. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 8:12. He says, but the sons of the kingdom, they will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's called hell. That's a place that I don't enjoy ever talking about, but I never will deny Scripture nor the reality of Scripture. And loved one, here's the deal. I don't want anyone to go to hell. You see, there's not a clock there that says, okay, you've paid your dues, you can get out. There's not one door, there's not one exit. You're there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And here's the thing. You know, God didn't create hell for man. He created hell, Matthew 25:41. He created hell for the devil and for his angels. God doesn't want you to be in outer darkness. But you see, that's the walk. That's an empty walk. And that's where that empty walk will finally lead you, having their understanding darkened. What is a dark mind? A dark mind is a mind that has no true discernment. In other words, true right or wrong. Now, I'm not saying it's not where everything is right or wrong. It's just you don't have that discernment. And a dark mind lives life only by experiment. You experiment with life because you don't have a plan. You don't know why you're here. You don't know that God has called you. There's a plan for you and a purpose for you, but you don't know those things because you don't know the Lord. And you know what you don't know? You don't know that darkness has a horrible, horrible power. It says in Colossians 1:13, talking about Jesus, how he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us over in the kingdom of the Son of his love. You know what Satan does? You see, this power of darkness, Satan takes darkness, dark, empty, wicked things. And here's what he does. He makes them appear like light. Oh, this is a good thing. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but it only leads to death. See, that's what Satan does. Now listen, a dark mind, loved one, a dark mind is an empty mind, and it needs light desperately. Whenever Paul, the great Apostle Paul, when he was speaking in Acts chapter 27 to King Agrippa, and he was telling him how Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus, and that he sent him to preach the good news, and he said, here's why. He said in 27:18 of Acts, he says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness, did you catch that? From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they must receive forgiveness of sins. Listen, darkness to turn away from darkness to light. If an empty, lost person, listen, you will never treat darkness as something as strange in your walk, in your life, until your eyes are opened. You see, whenever at the fall, when Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden, when they did that, the fall darkened their understanding. And the reason that every person is born darkened with their understanding is because we all came from Adam. And here was Adam. There in the garden, boy, he had everything. He could do anything he wanted to do. He named the animals. He was Lord over creation, if you will. And you know what he did? Instead of eating from the tree of life, he ate from the wrong tree, didn't he, because of the devil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened? Instantly, he knew he was naked. Instantly, his mind was darkened. His understanding was darkened. Oh, how horrible that is. And you know what happened? There they were in paradise, and immediately Adam and Eve, they had to walk out of the garden. Cherubims, God set there, flames of swords of flaming fire. They can never go back into the garden lest they eat the tree of life and live forever, God said. No, they walked out into wilderness. They walked out into an empty, empty life. See, Adam died spiritually. He did not die physically, loved one. Did you know when it says the minds there are darkened and so forth, the most brilliant mind in all the world, it's not going to help you. The reason I say that is because they can't see the darkness because their understanding is messed up. No, the lost are empty and they have to have light. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it says it is veiled to those who are perishing, meaning those that are lost, those that are not saved. And so it says, whose minds, here it is, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and the reason, who do not believe, lest the light that you need if you're not born again, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Who is the God of this age? The little g. It's a little g. It's Satan, the wicked one. Yeah, listen, Satan, the defeated prince of this world, the defeated father of every lie that has ever been done on this planet. Think about it. He's alive. He's real. He's on this planet right now. He's seeking to whom he may devour. He's always roaming. He's always looking for a victim, loved one. Listen, he has, even though he's defeated, he has the power to blind minds. You know how he does it? He lies to you. He deceives you. Someone talks to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what? You immediately get offended. They could talk to you about Buddha. They could talk to you about Confucius. They could talk to you about UFOs. They could talk to you about worshiping bugs. It doesn't matter. You wouldn't be offended. But at the name of Jesus, it offends you. Why? The devil hates Jesus. The devil hates you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know what he does? He has so much power that he causes the lost, those with the empty walk, he causes you to reject the greatest news ever given on this planet, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came because he loved you. He died because he loved you. He was placed in a tomb because he loved you. He was beaten, put upon the cross, pierced, because he loves you, and he rose from the dead to set you free. But you see, that may sound like nonsense because right now the devil's going, look at that old man, look at that junk. No, that is true. That's the word of God. And you know what happens whenever you receive the Lord? For it was God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It says, It says, who shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The moment those that are lost receive Christ, the light of God, man, it floods your being. It floods your mind. For the first time in your life, you actually start thinking correctly and clearly. That's exactly what Scripture teaches. Why? You're no longer in darkness. Jesus said, I am, John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and that he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but walk in the light of life. You see, I was once in darkness. My mind was, my understanding was darkness. I lived an empty life, but I didn't think it was an empty life. You know, but to think that I was once darkness, that would have offended me before I was born again. But let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 5:8. For you, let me put my name. For you, Bill, were once darkness. Now listen to me. You weren't in darkness, even though you were dark. Darkness. You lived in that darkness. You yourself were dark. That's what I was. And it says, but now, praise the Lord. Well, you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In other words, now I can manifest by God's power and by God's grace. I can manifest who I truly am in Christ. I can manifest the light of God. Now, look at the next one. It says, being alienated from the life of God, or literally having become separated and alienated from the life of God. When did that happen? Again, it goes all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve fell. Separated from true life. Think about that. I mean, the life that God himself has. Separated from that life. See, when Adam fell, again, we fell. But when we fell, just like Adam, we fell away from the life of God. Man, out of paradise, into the wilderness of this world, alienated from real, true life. What does that mean? It means now that if you don't know Christ, it means that you're going through the activities of life. Yes. Oh, man, you're doing this, you're doing that. You could be so successful. You can be brilliant. All of those things. But you're just going through the activities of life. But you do not have supernatural life. You do not have eternal life because you're dead in trespasses and sins. No. You're held captive in spiritual death, and you don't even know it. See, the lost can only live the empty life inherited from Adam. And in Adam, all die. The empty walk of the lost. That's before I knew Christ, this was my walk too. It says in Ephesians 2:2 that I walked according to the course of this world. Meaning, the word course means I was controlled, I was dominated by whatever the world, the ups and downs of the world, what the world thought, what the world didn't think, whatever the world called right or whatever the world called wrong, the system that we live in. No, I followed the course of this world because I was of the world, I was empty. And not only that, it says, I walked according to the prince of the power of air, that's Satan, the devil, and listen to what he does. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who works? That word is energy in the Greek. It means he gives energy to those that are without Christ. What do you mean, Bill? Well, it means that Satan loves empty, dead people, dead in trespasses and sins. He loves them. He loves to give energy to the dead. He loves to give energy to empty minds, and he loves to fill empty hearts. He loves to give you empty hopes and empty dreams and empty plans because he knows they'll never, ever take you anywhere. No, listen, why are the lost in this horrible condition? I mean, why are they empty in life and empty in mind and full of darkness and cut off, alienated from the very life of God? Look at the next verse here. Because of the deliberate, now that's not in your Bible, but that's the way it should read. Because of the deliberate ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now listen, this is a condition brought on by themselves, brought on by you. Look at it again. It doesn't say here their ignorance. No, man, people are smart, man. We've got a lot of smarts up there. But it says that the ignorance in them. What does that mean? It means it's a heart issue, okay? See where it says blindness of their heart? The word blindness there just simply means hardness. It means their heart is callous. You see how calluses are built up. They're covered with hard calluses. Their heart is like stone, hard, hard stone. So blindness of heart. Now listen, blindness of heart, there it means there's something standing between you, your heart, and the truth. You can't see it because your minds are darkened. But the truth is right there in front of you. But you're not looking at it. You can't see it because there's a veil over your heart if you're lost. Listen to the scripture. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:14 and following, he's talking about the veil that lies over the heart of the Jewish people in Jesus' day. And he says, listen, nevertheless, when anyone turns to Jesus Christ be my Lord. When anyone turns to the Lord Jesus, here's what happens. The veil is taken away from the heart. The truth then sets you free. You know that God is real. You know that Jesus is real. You know that you're born again. So when you turn to Christ, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, what happens? The veil is taken away from your heart. And then it says, and now the Spirit of the Lord, or the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. Freedom from what? A life of emptiness. A walk of living in sin. A walk where you follow Satan and not the Lord. That's what he's talking about. All the darkness is gone. Why? The veil is removed. Now listen to me. If you don't know Christ Jesus, listen carefully. There is only one message in all of the universe, only one, that can penetrate an empty heart, meaning those who are without Christ Jesus. Only one message. There's no other message that can set you free. There's no other message that can reach down in your heart and change you. Romans 1:16, here it is. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news. For in it, meaning the good news, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. In it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew first and to the Greek, to everyone who believes. That activates that. That's how you're born again. You believe in your heart. Only the good news. Nothing else can change an empty walk, an empty life, an empty person. And he fills you up with Jesus Christ. And look at this now. Verse 19. And who, being past feeling. That's a frightening verse. Past feeling. In the Greek, that word means to cease to feel pain. To cease to feel even grief, if you will. It literally also means to cease to even care. Now listen, the empty walk of the lost. It's so dark, it's so dead, it's so alienated from God. When you're past feeling, it means a heart that doesn't feel a thing. People tell you about Jesus. Let's say you're older like me, you know. Then in your 20s or your teens, they tell you about Jesus. He loves you. He died. Get out of here. Then in your 20s, they tell you, get out of here. Then in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, and you know what happens? You keep rejecting Jesus. You keep rejecting Jesus. And listen to me now. He loves you, but you start yourself, you're doing it. You're putting a thick callus, thicker and thicker and thicker over your heart. And you know what a hard heart is so hard. Now it does something. It suppresses only those feelings that are connected with anything, you know, with any type of goodness. They reject it. That's what it means to be past feeling. They reach a point where their conscience, it doesn't bother them. Man, it doesn't bother them at all. It no longer can touch their heart because it is seared. That's why in this world, which is a sewer, there's people that'll go out and they'll traffic little teenage boys and teenage girls for sex, sell them, make a slave out of them. Why? They don't care. They're past feeling. That's what sin does. That's how a murderer can kill someone at noon go have dinner that evening and go home and watch a football game and go to sleep. They are past feeling. Loved one, listen. The lost are empty and their conscience is seared. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:2, their consciences are seared with a hot iron, dead to any feeling, dead to any guilt, dead to any type of shame. Now listen to me though, but God and only God can give a person, a lost person, a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, listen to this great scripture. God says, I'll give you a new heart. Do you want a new heart? He says, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you right now, today. He says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll even put a new spirit within you. And listen to what God will do. I will take the heart of stone, the calloused heart. I will take it out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, soft, subtle, that can receive the things of God. That's what it means to be born again. Listen, when you are past feeling, you know what happens? Oh, loved one, it says, having given themselves over to lewdness. That's a horrible scripture. That's what sin does. That's what an empty walk is. It goes from worst to worst to worst to worst. That's what corruption means. Corruption means to go from a good condition to a worse condition. If I had an apple up here and I took a bite of an apple, it's beautiful. The white meat inside is juicy and is lovely. But in 15 minutes, it starts turning brown. Why? It's corrupting. See, corruption means to go from a good condition to a worse condition. And so you keep going in sin and going in sin. And it says they finally given themselves over to lewdness. That means this, that you hand yourself over to another. It literally means to hand over one's self. It means to completely surrender self and abandon themselves to what? Lewdness, moral impurity. That's because they've lost all feeling of shame, desensitized to sin. They have no restraints. They give themselves over to whatever they desire. Now listen to me. Listen to the definition of lewdness. It says, lewdness is wanton conduct that shocks public decency. They don't try to hide their sin. They don't care what people think. They don't care what God thinks. It matters not who sees their shame as long as they can gratify their desires. That is emptiness. An empty life, an empty walk, an empty heart, an empty mind. Empty. And the world can never fill it except with empty things. The Bible says in Romans 1:24 about the giving up of God unto uncleanness and sexual impurity and so forth. That giving up, that abandonment. In other words, where God says, okay, you know what? If you want to live like that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to abandon you. I'll let you go. I love you, but I'm going to let you go. I'm going to abandon you to sin, full sin, even though his grace is, he can come back. But he says, no. He says, I'm giving you over to sin to the fullest measure you want. And that scripture that I just quoted at Romans 1:24, it doesn't say the sins of the flesh. It says the lust of the heart. The heart, when it's here. Oh, loved one, it's wicked. And you'll do anything. And look what happens when you're in that condition. It says to work all uncleanness with greediness. The word work literally could read, or to practice all uncleanness with greediness. Or really, you could put it, or make it your business. In other words, that person, sin now is their business. They're in business to sin. And the every kind, it says, look at that, all uncleanness, every type of moral impurity. And look how they do it. You see, they do it with greediness. That is the lust for more. They have to have more. They'll do this, they'll have this and this and this. And you know what? It's satisfied just for a second. But they have to go get something else because it never, ever satisfies. It'll never satisfy. And they desire more and more, and they don't care who they hurt, and they don't care what method they use to get whatever they want. They they're going to get it. Why? Because they're empty. And you know what? They're going to remain empty. And here's the reason. Because now self becomes everything. They're lovers of self, as the Bible says, more than lovers of God. They say to themselves, nothing matters but me and my desires. That is the walk of an empty, lost person without Christ. That's not our walk. Our walk is a worthy walk. Because by grace, through faith, one day, the believer, me, I said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Look at the contrast at verse 20. Christian, look at this one. That's the way we used to walk. We don't walk that way anymore. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. That's exactly right. Man, we're walking worthy of our calling. Now listen to me. Are you empty? Are you backslidden? Do you need to get back with God? Are you just running from one empty thing to another empty thing? You say, well, Bill, that was a first century. That's way back when they were just a bunch of heathens. No. Listen, there's no difference between a first century lost empty person and a 21st century lost empty person. The world hasn't changed. Human nature has not changed. Man has not changed. We have not gotten better. We can't get better without Christ. There's not any other name given among men by where they can be saved except the name of Jesus. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Listen to me. Are you empty? May I define that word empty to you? Empty means unfilled, uninhabited, unoccupied, meaningless, purposeless, bare, hollow, vacant. What horrible words. You know what? Do you know that God right now wants to fill you with all the fullness of Christ? Do you know that right now He wants to fill your heart with good things? Do you know He wants to give you a brand new nature, a brand new heart, a brand new walk? Do you know that? Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:14, it says, therefore, the Bible says, awake, you who sleep. It's time to wake up, man. You're dead. It says, wake up. Arise from the dead, meaning get out of your trespasses. Get out of your sins. You're dead, man. And Christ will give you light. Don't stay in the darkness. You know, if you're a backslidden Christian, or maybe you say, Bill, I've got to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or if you're empty and lost, listen. You come to Christ right now. You get right with God right now. If you will confess with your mouth, listen now. If you'll just do this, don't let the devil lie to you right now. All over the world, all over America, everyone that is listening, every person, listen to me now. If you're lost, if you're backslidden, you can come home right now. And you'll never have an empty walk. Because you will walk, or the Lord will walk with you. He'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You can't get your life right. You don't have the strength. You need the power of God. And the way you do it is you say this. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Lord. If you will say, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that in your heart, God says, you know what? I'll save you. And I'll save you right now. All over, please just pray with me. Pray with me right now to receive the Lord, to get your life right, to rededicate your life, or get out of that backslidden state. Just say, Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name. I want to come home. I don't want an empty life. I don't want an empty mind. I don't want an empty heart. I'm tired of living on empty things, and I'm empty. Oh, save me. Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart right now. Come in and live forever, and fill me with your love. Fill up my emptiness. Jesus, fill up my emptiness. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you. I'm saved. I've rededicated my life. Oh, Lord, I'm no longer backslidden. I believe I've come home. Now listen to me. If you prayed with me, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to do it right now. I beg you not to procrastinate. I want you to email me right this minute and say, Bill, I rededicated my life to the Lord. Or I just came to Christ. I'm no longer empty. Or I was backslidden, but no more. I want you to email me right now, right this minute, info@loveneverfails.com. Do it right this minute. I want to hear from you, please. And you know what? If you'll give me your address, I'll send you this booklet, Welcome to the Family of God, and it'll be mailed out to you first thing tomorrow. Please do that. Do it now, in Jesus' name. Calvary Chapel, I miss you. I love you. I cannot wait till I hear.